now it was their intent to take Jerusalem and even had it under siege. It's difficult for us to understand in that day when a nation put another city under siege, it was a slow starvation, death. And yet, everyone that died, God purposed to die. The Lord was using this army to bring about his judgments on the land of Israel and even around Judah, but it wasn't up to Sennacherib, even though he was king of Assyria, it wasn't up to him to determine the end. And so Hezekiah had sent for a word from Isaiah as to how the Lord would have him respond. And so in verse 21, this is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him, concerning Sennacherib, concerning this king of Assyria. And we could say by type, this king of Assyria represented the very enemy of God, whether Satan or sin, whatever that would seek to destroy and devour this people. Here's the message of hope, just like we saw in Nahum. This is the good news of the sound of the feet upon the mountains, bringing peace. They said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah. Here's where we find that word. This day is a day of trouble. Now that's an interesting word, that word day of trouble. It's in the feminine in the original Hebrew language, and it speaks of one as dealing with a scorned woman. We've all seen that expression or heard it. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. This is how this situation is described, that this enemy that the Lord had raised up to come against Hezekiah and against the people was as a scorned woman who would not be satisfied until vengeance was found. We've even read books or seen movies about this, and it never ends well. But that's the word of the language that's used, a time of distress and of rebuke and blasphemy. Here it describes again the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's remember that any attack against one of his people is really an attack against Christ. The enemy, just like Satan from the beginning, sought to establish his throne above that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's always the issue. It's not that we just get caught in between, but if we are the bride of Christ, then when Christ is scorned, because you can say that Satan is as that scorned woman, so is his seed, not satisfied that Christ has come and has delivered out of the bondage of that false husband, fallen Adam, or even Satan, delivered out this bride for himself. That enemy is as a scorned woman. You can see a day of trouble, of rebuke. There will be nothing good to say about our Lord Jesus Christ, and blasphemy to take any position other than bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ as all in salvation and in glory is blasphemy. Is that evil? Is that they've hewed them out cisterns. I don't know if you've ever dug a well by hand. I haven't. When I was a little kid, we got our friends together and thought we were going to dig our way to China. And we got our little shovel and everything. We started digging. And after hours and hours and hours, when it got to where we were just down far enough where we could hardly see out the top, we started getting scared. We thought, oh, we don't want to do this anymore. It's a lot of work to dig out a cistern, which in the end the Lord describes as broken cisterns. It means it doesn't hold water. So that's a good description, as it says here, that can hold no water. And yet that's the depravity of man's heart. They're going to continue to work. It's a works religion. To dig means to work, to sweat. And to produce a result by your own labors, which when you stop and think about what it is to satisfy a holy God, how vain. How vain. Now the truth of the gospel is that the work's been done between the Father and the Son. That's why Christ came. Because there's no man that could ever satisfy God's holiness and justice. It took Christ's coming